Well, it's been a very good week. We appreciate so very much the people that made it their business to be here each night during the Sunday school clinic. And thank you. And I hope and pray that what was taught has been taken to heart and mind and will be put into practice here in your church and the ministries here. Hear about doing it is not going to fix the problems. We've got to take what's been taught and put it into practice. And open your Bibles tonight to two passages, Exodus chapter 3, and Numbers chapter 13. Exodus chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 13. Exodus 3 and Numbers 13. We'll give you just a moment to find that. Talked to my wife this afternoon, and she said, "Honey, it was 87 yesterday, and it's going to be about that today," she said. And I love spring. You don't know what it is yet, but I love spring. It has skirted your area. Y'all won't see spring until May, will you? Yeah, man. But it's beautiful outside right now. Yeah, and you could be in Indianapolis. I love to see snow in a picture. I've got arthritis throughout my body, and in cold, damp weather, I hurt all over. If it works on my body, it hurts. If it don't work, it don't hurt. Well, I take it back. I've got one area of my body that does not work, that does not hurt, and that's my left knee. It's artificial. The weather is rough, my hands hurt, I drop everything I pick up. So usually when I pick up something, I go ahead and just throw it down to get that over with. But we have enjoyed being with you. You've made the sunshine shine inside of this building this week for me, and thank you for being so kind and welcoming, and thank you for making a person who speaks a foreign language up here to feel welcome. I had a lady at the motel ask me, "Where are you from? That accent, I don't recognize it." I said, "Ma'am, I'm from New York City." She didn't believe me. But you wouldn't believe this. Just about 30 miles from where I was born and grew up, there is a New York, Texas. North of where I was born and grew up, there is a Paris, Texas. And just a little bit, about an hour and a half southeast of where I grew up, is Palestine. So Texas is an international place. But it's good to be here, and thank you for the kindred spirit and the words of encouragement and being so kind. And it's been a joy to be able to spend the afternoon lunch over at the preacher's house, and he cooked and she cooked, and my, what a blessing that was to be with the children. My new name is Brother Smith. Smith. Yeah, Brother Smith. And that's what the kids call me. We enjoy being here. Have you found your places in Exodus chapter 3 and Numbers chapter 13? I was just trying to give some of you time to look it up in the index and get the page number. And You never know, we might have some Bible college students here. They need a little extra time. If you found your place out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me and follow me as I begin to read in verse number 7 of Exodus chapter 3. We'll read verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. We'll leave off reading there, but I want you to notice how God described the land that He was going to give to them. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now turn, if you will, over to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and I'll begin to read in verse number 26 and read the rest of this chapter. The Bible says, And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now keep in mind, they have come up to the border of the promised land. And they sent over 12 spies into the promised land to spy it out. Now keep in mind, God's already said, I've given it to you. And you go in and possess it. And I'll go in and I'll fight for you, and you'll surely drive these people out. Now then, they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, there's that ugly word, nevertheless. That means that the people are seeing things opposite to what God has promised. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But there's another word like that, nevertheless. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, God said, I'm going to send you and give you to a land that flows with milk and honey. And I'll go with you, you'll possess it, and I'll go with you, and you'll drive out the inhabitants thereof. And now then these spies go out and come back, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, but there's some problems. We want God to just give it to us without any effort on our own. We don't want to have to, by faith, claim His promises and go in and possess it and watch Him fight for us. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the title of my message tonight. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, but somebody's got to milk the cows and rob the beehives. Somebody's got to milk the cows and rob the beehives. I mean, there's personal responsibility on our part. Yes, it's a good land. Yes, the blessings of God are there and the provisions of God are there. Yes, God will go with us. But somebody's got to be man enough and woman enough to say, Lord, here am I, use me. Somebody's got to milk the cows and rob the beehives before they can enjoy the milk and the honey of the land. Father, help me tonight. We've been here all week talking about a Sunday school and building a great Sunday school and reaching people and building people for You. We've got a Bible full of promises. We've got the promise of the power of the Holy Spirit. But God, there's got to be somebody willing to say, Lord, here am I. You've promised us blessings like a land flowing with milk and honey. But there's got to be people in this church willing to milk the cows and rob the beehives before they ever enjoy the blessings of a great Sunday school and a church that's growing and reaching their city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Use the message to challenge hearts and stir hearts. Lord, there's two kinds of people here. There's going to be a people that says, here am I, Lord, use me. Or there's going to be a people that are the nevertheless crowd or the but crowd that says we can't do it. The obstacles are bigger than we are, but they're not bigger than Christ. God, help us to understand that. And we can accomplish Your purpose and Your will for our lives. We can do what You've told us to do. We can go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be witnesses in our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But somebody's got to be willing to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Now bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, God calls Moses and tells him that He'll deliver Israel from Egyptian bondage and bring them into the promised land. And it was God who described the land as a land flowing with milk and honey. 17 more times in the Word of God, our Lord uses this phrase to describe the promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 26 through 33, Israel is standing on the banks of the Jordan River at Kadesh Barnea. The promised land is before them. The bondage of Egypt is behind them. And all they had to do was to believe God and obey Him and go in and possess it. So, being like Baptists, instead of believing God, they decided to send out 12 spies to check out the land. After all, God might not have been honest with them, was their thinking. This sounds like Baptists today. When the spies returned, they had glowing stories about the promised land. They said, surely it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Nevertheless, but they also found a problem. There were giants in the land. Those giants were big, and they were like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. And they felt like grasshoppers when they looked at the giants. And the standing committee on spying out the land voted 10-2 that God was mistaken, and they could not possess it, thinking that the giants were bigger than God. They turned away from the promised land and turned back toward the desert, the wilderness, and wandered aimlessly for 40 more years until That generation of doubters died except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. Then God gave them the land to possess it. I want you to know today, we lose so much by our doubts and our disobedience. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, Israel now is in captivity in Babylon because of their rebellion and idolatry. They had entered into the promised land, but they had not driven out the people. They compromised with God's word. And God reminded them how He had delivered them from Egypt. And He reminded them that He had led them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And He also reminds them that they were in captivity because of their rebellion and idolatry. And they had forfeited the land flowing with milk and honey to become slaves again, and this time in Babylon, not Egypt. Man sure does know how to play the fool, doesn't he? Even today, we forfeit God's blessings because of our stubborn rebellion and our unbelief. Let me ask you a question. What promise in the Bible that God has made to His children that He's not able to keep? What promise in the Bible is God not able to fulfill? He's not looking around for power to do it. He's looking for children, His children, who'll trust Him and obey Him and step out by faith. For my message tonight, I want to focus on the statement about the promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, this did not mean that all the rivers and streams flowed with milk and honey instead of waters. What it did mean was that the promised land was a land of plenty where all their needs could be met. It was a land where individual responsibility was a must if they were to enjoy the benefits of that land. In other words, if they were to enjoy the benefits of the land flowing with milk and honey, then somebody had to milk the cows, and somebody had to rob the beehives. And Israel missed the benefits of the promised land for 40 years the first time because they refused to accept their personal responsibility to obey God by faith and go in and possess the land. They failed because of their fear and their lack of faith. Israel lost their promised land again for 70 years while in captivity in Babylon because of their rebellion and idolatry. They had the promise. The land flowing with milk and honey was theirs to possess. God had promised to fight for them and with them and give them the land. But they were not willing to milk their cows and rob their beehives. They were not willing to take on their personal responsibility as set forth by Almighty God. Did you ever stop to think why this church is not running 500? It's not because God don't want it to run 500. It's not running 500 or 400 or 300 because there's not enough people in this congregation who's willing to, spiritually speaking, milk their cows and rob their beehives. Classes need teachers. Buses need drivers. We don't have enough people who are willing to take on that responsibility and milk their cows and rob their beehives. God has promised His blessings if we'll just obey Him and drive out the giants and possess the land. And there's not any physical giants living around us, but we've made giants out of things in this world, and we've allowed our fears to build up giants in our mind that makes us think we cannot do it. But I'm here to tell you, you can serve God. You can be blessed by God. You can be used by God in this church. Can do things it's never done for Christ if there'll be men and women and boys and girls step up and say, Lord, here am I. I believe God. me get to my message. That's my introduction. It takes obedience and courage to milk the cows and rob the beehives. Now, this message will mean a lot more to those who were raised on a farm. Back before they had the automatic milkers. We had automatic milkers. I had two of them. I had to get up every morning and again in the evening and milk old Betsy and old Kate, the milk cows. For the benefit of you city slickers, milk does not come in a carton. It doesn't come in a plastic jug. Somebody has to milk that cow. My wife was such a city slicker when I married her, she thought peanuts grew on trees. I can hear some of you saying, they don't. You see, on the farm, in milking cows, there's never a holiday. We had to milk old Betsy and Kate twice every day, weekends included. Rain, shine, snow, or sleet. I hated the cold, wet days. You see, where I had to go to milk the cows didn't smell like a bakery. It smelled, but not like a bakery. And if you're going to milk the cows, you've got to learn to deal with manure. And if you're going to do anything for God, you've got to learn to deal with a bunch of bull that's going on in the church, too. We've got to be willing to milk the cows and rob the beehives. It really helped to prepare me for the ministry. I had to learn how to deal with stubborn cows. And the things I hated was when it was wet and the cow would come in from the fields and they'd been out grazing, they were wet, their old tail was wet, and it had cuckold burrs all in it. Now that didn't bother me until they got ready to swat something. You ever been hit upside the head with a wet cow tail filled with cuckold burrs? You hate it. You have to put up with some things when you milk the cows. Then you'd be milking the cow and you'd get just about through, the bucket's almost full, and that silly cow would lift her foot up and kick the bucket. You've got to be willing to deal with some things. You know the only reason I milked those cows every morning and every evening was because Daddy told me to? You know why I serve God regardless of how ornery people are and how mistreated some people are? Some people mistreat you. I keep on serving God. I don't quit because God told me to. Some of you would be a lot happier if you'd step up and get rid of your fears and quit believing the lies of the 10 spies that said we can't and believe God. God never asks you to do anything for Him that He won't empower you and equip you to do. Our obedience is based on our submission to the authority of the one giving the command. And if you're not obeying God, you're saying He's not my authority. Israel's rebellion was against the authority of God. It is God who gives us the command to be a faithful witness and win souls. It's God who gives us the command to send out missionaries around the world. It's God who tells us to be faithful to attend church and serve Him. And as we see that day approach, to do it even more so. It's God who told us to give our tithes and offerings. It's God who tells us to be faithful in our prayer life and right living. When we don't do what God tells us, then we're rebelling against Him and His authority. When we rebel, we automatically place ourselves under His judgment and chastisement. Now, not only does it take obedience to milk the cows and rob the beehives, it takes courage. Now, we never had beehives when I was a boy growing up. But every summer, we were farmers. We raised watermelons and cantaloupes and tomatoes and peas and beans and cucumbers and corn and on and on. But in the summertime, we'd take watermelons and we'd eat the heart out of them, and then we'd leave the rinds with a lot of the red stuff, the meat still in it. And behind our house and in front of our house, in front of our house was a creek and it was a wooded area. Behind our house was about 500 acres of oak and hickory forest and elm. And wild bees, beehives, would find a nest or build a nest in those trees. They'd find a tree with a big hollow, and they'd go in there, and that would be their hive, and then the bees would fly out of there looking for nectar. And they loved the watermelon juice. And I'm telling you, in the summertime, they would come and fill up and fly back, and there was a highways of bees going back and forth. And we would follow those bees, called coursing. And they'd lead us right to the bee tree. And we'd take our axe and we'd put an X on the tree, showing that we had claimed that tree. That's ours. Nobody else would mess with it. And then, toward the end of the summer, Daddy and I would go in there and cut those trees down and rob the bee trees. And we'd get number three wash tubs full of honey out of those trees. Now, I'm simply saying it takes courage to rob the bee tree. Daddy and I would rob those trees and there were thousands of bees. And every one of them had danger written on its backside. Now, my daddy didn't wear any kind of protection. He'd take handfuls of bees and put over here in order to get to the honey. But man, I wanted to. But my heart and my feet wouldn't let me. Daddy would say, whatever you do, don't run and don't show fear. They can see the fear. We'd cut down the tree and cut out the hollow that was filled with honeycomb, and all those thousands of bees would seem to come after me. Daddy'd say, now don't run. Son, don't run. That's like telling a butterfly not to fly. Man, my heart wanted to stay, but my feet wouldn't let me. And every one of those bees take out after you. I'm here to tell you that it takes courage not to run when all those bees are polishing their stinger and every fiber of your body is crying out, run, you fool! I had to determine quickly whether I was going to believe and obey my father, who knew all about robbing bee trees, or was I going to obey my feelings and run like crazy. Our courage is determined by our faith in the one who gives us the command. In whom do you trust? God or your feelings? Israel believed their feelings, and they, when they saw the giants in the land, and they said, we cannot. The lack of faith and courage robs us of many of God's great promises and blessings. Our lack of courage and faith and saying, Lord, here am I, use me. I'll take one of those jobs. I'll work in that Sunday school. I'll build that class. Robs this church of seeing God's greater blessings on it. Remember, if you're ever going to enjoy the blessings of the promised land of victory where the milk and honey flows, then somebody's got to be willing to milk the cows and rob the beehives. Then may I say, secondly, one does not fully enjoy and appreciate the benefits of a cold glass of milk and seven Oreos or fresh honey on a hot buttered yeast roll until he's milked the cows and robbed the beehives. All of a sudden, the milk tastes better and the Oreos taste better and the honey and that yeast roll taste wonderful. You cannot fully appreciate souls walking the aisles and being baptized every week if you never work to win them or get them here and down the aisle. You cannot fully appreciate the buses coming in full of boys and girls and adults if you've never prayed or given to the bus ministry or gone out on Saturdays and knocked doors and you've never ridden a bus to pick up these kids. You can't fully appreciate your buildings if you've never worked and given to see these buildings built. 25 years I pastored at Trinity, we were in a constant building program. We had a building project going all the time. First one was a two-story Sunday school building, 80 foot long, 100 foot long, 80 foot wide, two floors. We worked every Tuesday night, work night, building that building, getting it finished. We got it finished and the walls were painted and the floors were polished and everything looked nice. And you could tell those who worked. Somebody would come in and spill something on the floor and just go on. Those that worked on that building would be over there cleaning it up. Somebody would throw down trash, but those that worked on that building was picking it up. Because they knew what it was to milk the cows and rob the beehives. I'm here to tell you, your church would be a lot more precious to you if you were one of those that were committed to milking the cows and robbing the beehives around here. And then, lastly, every honest Christian wants to be a part of a great growing church and Sunday school. But it just doesn't happen by accident. Somebody's got to milk the cows and rob the beehives. We all want clean and well-kept buildings with beautiful lawns and pretty flowers. But somebody's got to clean them. Somebody's got to do the upkeep. Somebody's got to mow the lawn and keep the flower bed. Somebody's got to milk those cows and rob those beehives. Everybody wants a happy, friendly church where everyone is made to feel welcome. But the Bible says if a man would have friends, let him show himself friendly. And some of you need to learn to milk those cows and rob those beehives. Every Christian wants a Sunday school where class members are loved and ministered to, prayed for, and visited and are taught. But it doesn't just happen until there's people like you that are saying, Lord, I'm willing to milk that cow and rob that beehive so we can have a blessed Sunday school. Every honest Christian wants a missions program that carries the gospel around the world. But it costs money. Did you know for every new missionary that sent out, that missionary is going to have to find about 60 people somewhere in America who will give $50 a month for their support? Hey, think about it. Today it takes about $5,000 to $6,000, depending on the field, to get a missionary to the field and keep him there with meager needs, meager means. It takes a lot of people. Somebody's got to say, Lord, here am I. If they'll go, I'll give. I'll give. Every honest Christian likes souls, to see souls walking the aisle and getting baptized every week. I love to see people getting saved and families joining. But it doesn't happen by accident. If it's going to be a regular thing, somebody's got to go out and bring them in. Somebody's got to go find them. Somebody's got to love people for Christ's sake and allow Christ to love others through you. And by the way, that's what a Sunday school teacher is. The Sunday school is simply a teacher, is simply a vessel that allows God to love people through them and give out His simple message. It bugs me to be in a church and see things broken and not repaired, see needs that are never met, ministries that are never financed, choirs that never fill the choir to sing glory to God. And the reason those things don't happen is because there's not enough people in the church willing to take on personal responsibility and milk that cow and rob those beehives. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, there were 12 spies sent out. They saw a land flowing with milk and honey, but there's only 2 that said we can do it. We can do what God said we could do. Our churches are filled with people, great needs, great opportunity, great blessings waiting. But there's only a few who will say, Lord, I believe You. And here am I. I believe this church can be a church like the land of promise, of flowing with milk and honey. And Lord, here am I. I'm willing to milk my cow and rob my beehive. I'm really willing to take on my responsibility. God expects every one of us to serve Him. One of the men here in the church asked me before church, said, Preacher, if all our sins are forgiven and never, never remembered again, and we've got to stand at judgment, how are we going to be judged? We're not going to be judged according to our sins. So they've already been judged in Christ. They're under the blood, paid for, blotted out, never to be remembered again. But let me tell you how we are going to be judged. We're going to be judged on whether or not we've been faithful to milk our cow and rob our beehive. Do those things that God has asked us to do for Him. There's a lot more to be done around here than's being done, because some are saying, I'm not going to milk that cow. I'm not going to rob that beehive. And you're missing blessings. And you're hindering the cause of Christ. Oh, my dear friend, instead of being one like the 10 that died in the wilderness and never got to go into the promised land, we need to say, Lord, here am I, use me, and allow God to use us. God's promises are true. You can't show me a promise God makes that He's not able to fulfill. You say, well, I'm not seeing it fulfilled. You're not seeing someone will step out by faith and claim it. Say, Lord, here am I. I'm going to make that my personal responsibility to trust You and obey You in that area. Hey, there's a lot more people out here in Terre Haute, Indiana, and the area around here that's out of church than are in church. On the streets you live, there's a lot more people that are not saved than are saved. I mean, we don't have to go far to find somebody that needs Jesus. We just got to be a willing vessel to say, Lord, here am I. Use me. This pastor wants this church and Sunday school to grow. He wants this missions program to grow. He wants the bus ministry to grow. I'm not saying he wants more building with empty rooms and he wants more buses with empty that come in empty. God put him here to reach people, and He put you here to join Him in reaching people. It's people for Christ's sake. That's our milk cow, and that's our beehive, reaching those people and filling our place in the church. Are you? God's put us here in a land flowing with milk and honey. And God's given you some cows that needs to be milked and some bee trees that need to be robbed. Are you saying, Lord, here am I, use me? Are you content? Well, we're satisfied. We're doing good. The bills are being paid. And we can just sit here and coast and enjoy ourselves. No, not going to go like that long. You see, when churches aren't growing, they begin to die. And anything that dies starts stinking after a little while. God wants to see you serve Him. He wants you to say, Lord, here am I. I'll fill my place in the church. I've heard you speak to my heart about teaching. I can drive a bus. I can work a bus route. I can knock a door and tell someone about Jesus. Lord, here am I. Use me. When you begin to take on that spirit, then you'll begin to see things happen over and over again that you've dreamed about happening. God blessing. God sending new people, new souls, new families. You're able to support more missionaries. And out of your congregation, you'll see some surrendering their life to preach the gospel, some going out as missionaries. But not unless we say, Lord, I'll take on my responsibility and do my part as a member of Bible Baptist Church in Terre Haute, Indiana. I'll milk my cows and rob my beehive. That's my responsibility you've given me for you. Father, that's our message tonight. Now, would you speak to our hearts and let us look to our...